Good morning. This is Les Harm speaking on behalf of the Adams County Historical Society and welcoming you to another segment of Adams County History. Few things from South Central Nebraska in the past seem to bring back a sense of nostalgia, quite like a rural farmstead that is still graced with a tower-creaking windmill. Yes, I'm talking about a water-pumping windmill. Reed Munsell, current Hastings resident, now in his mid-90s, relates many memories of the traditions of windmills in his youth and younger days. He makes a very strong statement when he says that when he was young, the windmill was truly the lifeline to water in much of Nebraska, which it was. When you think about it, there were not many water sources across Nebraska, especially across the prairies. There was not much for water. And so as Reed talks, some of his comments we'll use this morning, and also of Dick Witt, who has done research on the windmills of Nebraska and of South Central areas. According to Reed, he makes the comment, traditional windmills are disappearing in Nebraska, yet it's surprising how many are still standing. They always get my attention as we drive through the country. And good examples, of course, are in Windmill State Park, north of the I-80 Gibbon Interchange. And then in the 1970 Nebraska History article, it's called Free as the Wind, the author observed the American manufacturer and said that they had sold more than 95,000 windmills in 1925. And by 1930, there were 600,000 in operation in the United States. However, by 1956, sales had fallen to less than 10,000 windmills per year. Why was this? Well, rural electrification allowed electric pumps to replace the windmill across the country. That trend, and of course today enhanced by modern solar panels, continues today. But there are still places that you rely heavily on windmills where you don't have an electrical source. We're thinking of the panhandles of Oklahoma, of Texas, southwestern Texas, and of course our own Nebraska sand hills. And still, Wikipedia now calls the windmills once so far in Nebraska's wind bumps and distinguishes them from the giant wind turbines that are now dominating the rural landscape. As fewer and fewer windmills pump water in our area every year, a 2017 article in the Nebraska Farmer said that only about one-tenth of the former functioning windmills are in operation today. In Nebraska, farmers and small-town settlers recognized that windmills could solve two problems. One, how could they get water, drinking water, bathing water, from prairies that had wells where you had to go 100 feet deep to get water? And number two, how to harness the region's near constant winds? Well, after 1880, most pioneers relied on a factory-built American-type mill for water. Before that, there had been some primitive attempts. However, one of the country's best-known windmill manufacturers was called the Dempster Mill Manufacturing Company, opened its doors in Beatrice, Nebraska in 1878. And at its peak in 1918, Dempster was employing over 500 people, proof of the windmill's popularity by World War I. The Adams County Historical Society has photos by the dozens showing local farms with the areas that include windmills. In Adams County, windmills were everywhere in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. They include windmills with wooden bladed wheels and steel-bladed rotors, large fan-shaped vanes and veinless Tamils with a counterweight instead of a vein and a wooden tower or a steel tower. So we had short windmills, we had tall windmills, we had everything in between. And they supplied water for people, animals, and garden plots for generations. I was one of those people who knows about the importance of the windmill. The railroad probably brought the first windmill to Adams County to supply water for their steam engines and the railroad employees. Juniata, the county's first successful settlement, had a large windmill at a street intersection at the center of the community from 1878 to 1943, right next to the famous gazebo bandstand. A bird's eye view of Kennesaw around 1910 shows nearly 20 windmills between the houses and the business of that day. The Hastings Gazette of 1887 told about Hastings' early water supply that related as a windmill, and it goes as follows. This article said, years ago, long before the Hastings Municipal Water Works boasted a plant, there was a privately owned waterworks that gave good service to pioneers who had no time to sink wells on their own. This waterworks was near the Denver Livery Barn at Kansas Avenue and South Street. It was owned and operated by William Cutler Sr. It consisted of one windmill with an attached storage tank of wood. Water was delivered by Mr. Cutler every day in his wagon box, 10 cents for one barrel or three for a quarter. And that's how you got your water at that particular time. So, encouraged by the success of Nebraska windmill manufacturers, because there was the Beatrice Dempster Company, there was Fairbury's Iron Works and Windmill Company, and Nebraska City's Creature Windmill Company, our own Western Landroller in Hastings got into the windmill business about 1920. Landroller produced a self-lubricating, galvanized steel windmill that had a unique cam-based cast iron head on the wheel shaft, and it came with a two-year warranty. And by the mid-1920s, several pages of the company's annual catalog were devoted to its windmills and windmill parts. By the 1930s, windmill design that was becoming fairly standardized. Typical was in either about a 5 or 8 foot diameter wheel made of curved galvanized steel at one end of a horizontal shaft and a steel vane of counterweight on the other with a gear head or a motor on a platform that would convert horizontal rotary motion to a vertical reciprocating motion atop a 20 to a 30 foot galvanized tower. Well, Reed Mansell goes ahead to make some other comments about windmills when he kind of says as follows. The windmill on our farm, which was just across the Nebraska-Kansas line, we were 9 miles northwest of Lebanon, Kansas. It was in the middle of our farmyard with a driveway circling it. It had a 24-foot tall galvanized steel tower, and the name on the tail was Fairbury. Our windmill looked like a normal one, but it was different because it had a concrete pit underneath the well platform. And this pit was about 6 feet deep and about 4 feet square, covered with a loose wooden plank to provide access to it. Every windmill had a ladder, usually with steel or wood, depending on what the tower was made of. Said my dad took the bottom 6 feet of the ladder off, probably to keep boys like me from climbing the tower. Maintenance of windmills was a constant on every farm. Wind damage, seeing that the oil in the motor was adequate, and odor issues all had to be dealt with. Said our nearest neighbor was terrified of climbing the windmill tower, so he had to depend on someone else to service his windmill, and he had two of them. I'm not crazy about heights either, but Reed goes ahead to say, I had to climb our tower more than once. Windmills for water systems were taken for granted in many areas. And we have to think about, to appreciate the offer of groups today that are trying to preserve the windmill. Today, we appreciate groups like the American Wind Power Center in Lubbock, Texas, the Mid-America Windmill Museum in Kendallville, Indiana, and the Krieger Windmill Factory Museum in Nebraska City. They're all trying to keep the memory of the windmill alive. Well, windmill manufacturers are mostly out of business now. Western Land Rover dropped their line by 1940. Krieger and Fairbury stopped making their windmills after World War II. Demeter made windmills until 2009, but all are gone today. But you can still buy a new water pumping windmill from Aeromotor. It was founded in 1888 and now headquartered in San Angelo, Texas. It will cost you between $7,000 and $30,000. But thanks to Aeromotor's West Texas owners, the American type windmill is still a part of the past and still continues to live on. And so there we have the story of the nostalgia of the windmill. This Moment in Time has been a presentation of the Adams County Historical Society. Again, we invite you to listen, to learn, and to please consider joining our society in order that you might preserve the history of our county. You can also visit our website, www.adamshistory.org. And so, this is Les Harms inviting you. Tune in on the second and the fourth Friday of each month. Thank you for listening.